Welcome back, everyone. We are going to finish our series on following Jesus, what it looks like to follow Jesus Monday through Friday, being disciple of Jesus Monday through Friday. This is number 6 of 6, and tonight we are talking about making disciples. And so I invite you to turn to Matthew 28, because this whole series has been about what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. And so it kind of has come full circle to say, these are key commands of Christ to all followers of Jesus. And now the last one, of course, is to go and make other followers of Jesus, make disciples. So I'm going to read to us Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus' last words in the book of Matthew. And it says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So in order for us to review, think about our discipleship tree that we've been walking through. The first week, the first command of Christ is simply to believe and receive the gospel. Repent, believe, and receive the gospel. We've talked about how the gospel is the foundation of everything in the Christian life, and everything flows out and grows out of the gospel. Because it's the message of the gospel is not follow these commands in order to find favor with God. The message is when we were able to do nothing, when we were able to not glorify God in any way because we were dead in our sin, Christ came and he did everything necessary through the cross and resurrection to make us alive and to forgive us. And then everything else in the Christian life flows out of that. Understanding and being rooted and grounded in the fact that God loves you and that God sent his Son to give you eternal life, but not only to give you eternal life, but to give you the righteousness of Christ even now. Everything else in the Christian life is rooted in that and grows out of that. So what's the first thing that grows out of it? It's what we talked about the second week, the great commandment to love God and to love others. We talked about, can you really command someone to love? Well, not really. I can tell you, love this, and you might conform yourself to that for a while, but there's really no power in the command itself to love. But it's that we saw in 1 John that we love because he first loved us. I've heard it say it's like this bar. It's like this metal bar. Have you ever had this, held a metal bar? And you try to squeeze it down, right? You try to bend that bar. So if you're really strong, you might bend it a little bit on the sides, right? But as soon as you let it go, it just pops back into place, right? And that's what following Jesus' commands is like without receiving the gospel. You might try to conform yourself to a pattern of religion or conform yourself to try to make other people happy for a while. So you put a lot of pressure on yourself. But once that pressure's off, think. It goes right back to who you were, right? Because it's only in receiving the gospel, it's only in receiving God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is like a flame. If you take a flame to that piece of metal, then it starts becoming pliable, right? And bendable, and you can bend it into the shape that you want it to be, and when you let it go, it stays there. That's the idea of the gospel, is that the gospel, the Holy Spirit, receiving the gospel and having the Holy Spirit inside us is like that fire that can truly conform us. And we're not just trying to do a religion or just follow a bunch of commands, but we have a heart that loves God and that now knows God. So we learn to love God and each other. And then the next one we talked about is our identity as a church. That we weren't saved just to be forgiven of our sin. We were also saved into a people, the church. And we talked about how being baptized identifies us as a follower of Christ to the church, to the community. To say, yeah, I wave the Jesus flag too. We are all in this together. And we're all witnesses of Christ together. And we renew that covenant every time we take the Lord's Supper together. So those were the ordinances. And so those were kind of the being commands. And then we got into talking about what we do. What we do, one, vertically in our relationship with God. So we talked about the spiritual disciplines, how we discipline ourselves to continue to seek God in His Word, that we continue to seek God in prayer, and we continue to seek God in community with one another. And as we do that, we continue to abide in Christ. We looked at that idea of abiding in Christ. And as you abide in Christ, not only does that affect your relationship with God, but then that moves you out into your horizontal relationships with others. Where if you are abiding in Christ, then you're desiring to be generous with others. And that's what we talked about last week, is when someone who has received the gospel starts becoming like the gospel. Where God was so generous to give us Jesus, we desire to be generous. We desire to be generous with the gifts that God's given us to serve others and desire their good. We desire to be generous with the gospel, sharing the gospel with the lost, those who truly need it. We desire to be generous with our resources, our money, in order to give and fund the mission of God in the world. And we seek to time was the last one. We talked about time and how some of us, we just need to organize our lives a little bit to actually have time to be generous with our time, to give to others and to give to our church. And so that's the discipleship tree. And the idea of the discipleship tree is it's a way that you can evaluate your own walk with Jesus. What does it mean to evaluate my walk with Jesus? Well, am I believing the gospel? Am I believing that Jesus has done everything necessary for my salvation, or have I come back to trying to earn it? Have I come back to ways of looking down on others to make myself feel better? No. Am I on that level playing field, understanding it's the gospel that's given me my salvation? And am I spending my time loving God and loving others? Am I joyfully identifying with the church? Am I spending time in God's word and prayer? Am I being generous with my time, talent, and treasure? That's just a simple kind of evaluation tool. And then the last one that we're talking about tonight is making disciples. And the last part of that tree is the seeds that are flowing off of that tree. The idea that those who are grounded in the gospel will be spreading that seed and seeking to share the gospel with others and make other disciples. So that's the big idea. You know, I think a lot of times we have made discipleship seem a lot too complex. When you hear this idea of, oh, you should be a disciple and make disciples, where I talk to a lot of Christians, they feel unqualified to make disciples, or they feel like they just don't understand what it means. This is all it means. It's very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And what are the qualifications? To have the Holy Spirit. That's the only qualification. And so if you've received the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have something to share with someone else. It's not about having everything right or all the knowledge, and you look at someone else and it's like, well, they know so much more than I do. A lot of people know a lot more about the Bible than I do. But none of that should stop us, because if we have the Holy Spirit, we have something to share. We have something to give away. And so I just want to encourage us to take all of that complexity out of this idea of making disciples. The first thing I want us to see tonight is that the central mission of every disciple of Jesus is to make disciples of Jesus. Let's think for a few moments about the Great Commission passage. In the Greek text, verse 19, it's evident that we've got four verbs there: go, baptize, teach, and make disciples. And those three verbs, go, baptize, and teach, are all participles which directly connect to the main verb of making disciples. So, well, how do you make disciples? Well, you go, right? So you can't make a disciple by yourself, so you have to go somewhere where you're around someone else. Baptizing. So, if someone gets to the baptism stage, that means they have understood the gospel and they're wanting to identify with Christ. And so you teach them about what it means to have identity in Christ and be baptized. And then you teach them all that He's commanded. Well, what has He commanded? Well, that's what this series is all about. We've been talking about that for the last 5 weeks. But the main verb there is to make disciples. What does it look like to make disciples? The fullness of Jesus' commission to His disciples involves going into all the earth and preaching the gospel, baptizing those who believe in the name of the triune God and teaching them to obey all Jesus has commanded. You see, our mission as disciples is to share the gospel, but it's not only to share the gospel. Our mission is to baptize converts, but it's not only to baptize converts. Our mission is to make disciples by sharing the gospel, baptizing them in the triune God, and teaching them to be disciples by making other disciples. Okay, all that means is, are you following Jesus? Are you seeking to obey? You see, I think one thing that kind of holds us back is we look at that, the part of Matthew 28 that says, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded, and instead we think about discipleship as teaching them all the knowledge that we know. No, it's not teaching them knowledge, it's just teaching them to obey. So how have you tried to obey Christ today? How have you just done those other five things? If you're trying to do those five things, you can be encouraging someone else to do them as well. That's all that it means. John 17, 20 through 23. Listen to Jesus' prayer and listen to what he has to say about disciples in his prayer. He says, I do not ask for these only. He's talking about his 12 disciples. I don't ask for just these who are here with me now, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. So Jesus just finished praying for his present disciples who have obeyed his word, and now he prays for those who are in the future will become his disciples through the witness of his present day disciples. Jesus says, I don't ask for these only, his present disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, which is his future disciples. So the question is, how did people become disciples of Jesus once Jesus was no longer around, once he went back to heaven? It was the disciples that made disciples, right? You say, this is so simple, this is so elementary, but remember, the whole point of this series is not to learn something new. It's to ask the question, am I obeying Christ's commands? Do I have anyone in my life that I see that I'm influencing for Christ, that I'm seeking to make a disciple of Christ? Jesus then says that all the believers will be one with the Father and the Son. I love that part. I love this idea of this intimate relationship with Jesus. And it's out of an overflow of this intimate relationship with Jesus where you start to make disciples of others. That's really helpful to me because for a long time, you know, I grew up in going to a Christian college and then going to seminary. There's all this kind of pressure to perform for God, you know? And I tried to do that for a while. I tried to do this for God and I tried to do that for God. And I was always found myself frustrated, like I was missing something. And what I was missing is that Jesus never said, go out and do this for me and go out and do this for me. He said, come along and do this with me. And that made all the difference. It wasn't like Jesus was back here in the house and he sent me off and he said, when you get back, tell me how it goes. No, no, no. He said, just come with me. That tells me that Jesus says, I'm already working in the world. All you need to do is spend time with me every morning and kind of align your heart with me. Then as you go through the day, just look for where I'm working. Just share with someone that you're praying for them. And, you know, if the Lord's working in their heart, you're going to see that. The Spirit will show you. You know, and then you might even strike up a bigger conversation with them or something like that. But just this idea of being with Jesus and then going out with Jesus made all the difference for me. The idea that it just flows out of your own personal relationship with Jesus. The second thing that I want us to see is that we see in the commission to make disciples an expectation of fruitfulness and multiplication. Now that seems like it seems that a little bit proud to say, oh yeah, as I make disciples, I just expect to be fruitful and multiply. But have you ever listened to how Jesus talks about it? God expects his plan to succeed as we abide in him and obey his word. Just remember the promise God gives just before he tells the disciples to make disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus is saying that he's been given authority over all things, including the hearts of men. And the plan that he has purposed to save all those who will believe is the plan that is going to be fruitful and it's going to succeed. He puts it in a parable this way: the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. I mean, think about how crazy it seemed for Jesus to tell 12 guys to take this gospel to the end of the earth. Think about just how minuscule and insignificant that number felt that day, right? But then think about the strategy. Have you ever gotten out your calculator? I know I did this when I was a kid all the time. You do 2 + 2, and you hit equals, 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 and you can equals, equals, equals all day, right? But then if you do the 2 × 2, and then you hit equals and equals, it goes to 4, it goes to 8, but really quickly, it boom, 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 just spreads out really quickly. I mean, that number gets really big, really fast. And that's kind of how Jesus talks about discipleship. The beauty of multiplication is that it spreads really fast. So think about it. If each guy would have just discipled one more guy and that disciple just made one more disciple, it spread out really quickly. Now listen, we've done a lot of things. Christians do a lot of things in order to reach people, a lot of big events and all that sort of thing. And I'm all about that, however we can reach them. But the most grassroots strategy that we see with Christ is just life-on-life discipleship. People who are excited about walking with Jesus, bringing other people along to encourage them to be excited about walking with Jesus. John 15:7-8 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Listen, there are a lot of things about God's will that we should pray about and ask, God, is this your will? But listen, this is one thing you don't even have to pray about. If you want to know, is it God's will for me to make a disciple? Yes, it's God's will. It's right here in the scripture. And it's God's will to make that bear, to have you bear fruit. It is a successful venture that we're on and that we're after. Jesus said that we glorify God by bearing much fruit. And our fruit bearing is a proof that we are truly disciples of Jesus. Now, I want you to be careful there, because I've learned a lot that spiritual fruit doesn't always look how we characterize it, right? That it's not always the fact. What am I trying to say? Discipleship is messy. That's what I'm trying to say. Like most ministry, discipleship is just messy. You kind of get this idea that one day God's going to put this person in your life and you're going to share the gospel with them and they're just going to be teary-eyed and they're going to repent and accept the gospel, and then you're going to get together with them for coffee every week and you're going to walk through these 6 steps, and by the end of those 6 steps, they're going to be sharing the gospel with someone else. It never happens that way. And listen, I have had a lot of stops and starts in regards to just trying to be a disciple and make disciples. I remember one time when we got to our church in Maryland, I just wanted to be about this. And so I saw this college guy. He was a little bit younger than me. And I just said, "Hey man, let's go out for coffee." I mean, I saw that he was passionate about Christ, but I didn't know where he was. And so we went out for coffee, and we talked, and it just kind of felt like, yeah, he was excited about Jesus, but he needed to grow. So I was like, this is great. And so I shared with him the plan. I was like, let's get together. Let's do it once a week, and let's talk about Jesus together. And I've got this thing called the discipleship tree, and we can kind of walk through it together and talk about it and all this, right? And then so he seemed fired up, so we prayed and we left, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm making disciples, baby. You know, I'm on the journey now. And so, you know, that next week I text him, and, hey man, are we on for coffee? Well, no. You know, I just started seeing this girl, and she lives in Baltimore, so I got to go up there, you know, and all this. And so I was like, okay, all right, you know, we made a commitment or whatever. But so I texted him, you know, that next week and tried to stay on him. And like, probably in the next 6 months, we met four times. Right. And it doesn't always happen like that. I mean, you might have someone that, you know, it really works out for every week. But we met four times. But every time we met, we were talking about Christ. We were talking about his relationship with his girlfriend and what does the gospel mean to his relationship and all that sort of thing. And then it just kind of left, and we don't even keep up today, you know. And it's kind of like, was that a failure of discipleship? I didn't get through the 6-step plan, you know, and all that sort of thing. And it's like, God's shown me time and time again, this thing's a lot messier than sometimes we think. But none of that time was wasted, right? It's just pouring your life into others, being available and seeking to just have spiritual conversations with other people and just encouraging them towards Christ. Let's look at one more just about the strategy of all this, the idea, the simple idea of discipleship. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So Paul first tells Timothy to find all of this strength of the mission in the grace of Jesus Christ, which points us back to all the fruit of the Christian life coming from resting in the grace of Christ in the gospel. Then Paul says, okay, I've taught you. So you entrust this teaching to other men who will be able to share with others also. So Paul gives us a picture of four spiritual generations of disciples, which started with Paul being obedient to the commission to make disciples. The mission of the church and of each believer in Jesus is to be a disciple who makes disciples. We should all desire to multiply the blessing of the gospel in others who can multiply it into others. So will you begin to pray to God and ask Him to make you fruitful and give you a legacy of faith? It's really cool to be able to go on the mission field, you know, on the mission field where in a lot of places, they don't have big church buildings. They're just meeting in homes and things like that. And especially in a place like India, you hear things like a church planting movement. And they're talking about a church planting movement. And they're like, oh, yeah, we've seen 1,000 churches planted this year. You're like, what? No, you haven't. That's just not realistic. What do you mean? And then you meet some of those pastors and they're like, no, yes, we have. Sorry, I get my Indian accent on. And he pulls out this piece of paper. This guy pulls out this piece of paper, and there's this dot at the top of it. And then there's two dots under it and a line. And then there's four dots under it and these lines. And then there's eight dots and these lines. And he shows it to me, and I'm like, what's this? He says, these are the two people I discipled. Those are the two people they discipled. And it was just like blowing my mind. Like, yeah, this is what he's talking about. This is what the mission is all about. And I mean, we use buildings and events and all those sorts of things, but really, grassroots, this is what God is doing. And this is what we should be all about. This is what every ministry of our church is about, to teach us, to equip us, to encourage us, to grow deeper in the gospel and then be able to share that with others. So how do I become a disciple maker? What does it look like for me? Well, I just have a few points and then we're done. First, just owning the assignment. Own that making disciples is not just the pastor's job. It's not someone's job just because they went to seminary or anything like that. It's just a job that God's given every believer in Christ. So just owning the assignment. And then second, understanding the method. And it's simply life on life. That's why I love group ministries, small group ministries, Sunday school ministries, where we get out of rows and we get into circles where we start forming relationships with one another, because it's just an environment to go deeper. And then the hope is that out of those relationships, people start inviting one another over to their homes and sharing life together and talking about how walking this faith out in day-to-day life, talking about those things and encouraging one another and praying for those that we're sharing with and all those sorts of things. And then so just understanding that it's life-on-life relationships. And then having a plan. When I'm looking to invest in somebody, I just use that tree. I just have that idea. It's just making sure first that they understand the gospel. And we spent our whole first time just talking about the gospel, and making sure they understand that it's Jesus who's done everything necessary for their salvation through the cross and resurrection. And then from there, just walking through that tree, have some sort of plan. Make the invitation. That's kind of the hardest part, right? Is just putting yourself out there and saying, listen, I need people in my life. I need these kind of relationships in my life. Can we get together? Can we spend some time? Can we do this? And then not make excuses. There's always going to be excuses. We're going to have excuses from now till eternity for why we can't or why we won't or why we don't have time or why, you know, the next season of life will be better for this sort of thing or anything like that. But just not making excuses, but just saying, I'm going to get in the game and I'm just going to do it. You know, and I'm going to love on this person or, you know, be praying for my neighbor, seeking to share with them and just see where it goes. And like I say, there's a lot of starts and stops, right? You get an opportunity, and sometimes the Lord just blesses it and opens doors, and it's like, great, we're having coffee, or we're going hunting together, or whatever it is, you know. And other times it's an awkward conversation, and then they shut the door, and then it's just kind of, okay, see you later, you know. But just owning it and just giving it a try, just going for it. I just want to encourage you to go for it. You know, the picture of the Christian life, man, I just have prayed this since I was in college. Lord, give me someone who can always be like a mentor figure, right? Someone who's older, who's been walking this journey longer than I have, and who I can just be real with, and that we can talk, and he can encourage me in my walk with Christ. And then, Lord, would you give me someone younger that I can do the same thing with? Because, Lord, if you give me my family and those two people in my life, now you've given me the church to shepherd too. I mean, that's enough. I just pray for those to have those two people in my life. And some seasons I have. Life is a lot about seasons. Some seasons I have and some seasons I haven't. But I just encourage you to pray the same thing. Lord, would you give me that one person in my life that is kind of like that mentor discipleship figure to me? And then would you give me someone in my life that I can be for someone else to pour in? You know, one thing I'm excited about this church, and I was excited about coming to this church, is we're not already busy in a million different programs. What I mean by that is in Maryland, we had a great church there, but we were so busy. And one thing that was always on my heart was our most mature people, who could have been our most mature disciple makers, spent all their time administrating events for believers. You know what I'm saying? The ministries were growing big, so they just ended up being administrators for these events. And it's like, no, I want them to be freed up to be the ones in the community making disciples. You know? And so it's just kind of part of the vision that I have, and this idea of keeping things simple enough to where the most mature people are out doing the mission outside the four walls of the church and making disciples. And so so that's it. That's it. I know it's not deep or profound, but it's just what God has called us to do. And so would you just pray and be excited about this idea that you're called to be a disciple maker? And if you're following Jesus, one of the greatest joys in life is just sharing that with someone else and seeing them walk with Jesus too. So as we pray, I just pray that you would just have that prayer in mind. Who is that person that God would provide that person in your life that can be like that mentor and disciple to you? And that he would provide someone in your life, whether it's someone that you share the gospel with and comes to faith for the first time, or whether it might be someone in our midst who you just see that is younger than you, or maybe just hadn't been on the spiritual journey as long, that you just want to put your arm around and say, man, let's get together, you know, let's do this thing together. So let's just think about that as we pray.